Welcome to the Two Broker Girls podcast. I'm Erin Seymour.
I'm Sandy Lynn Burnett.
And we are both realtors, and we are currently licensed in Iowa and Illinois. And
brokered by eXp Realty.
That's right. Okay, so today's topic is going to be choosing your brokerage, or as I like to say, interviewing brokerages. So we've kind of compiled a bunch of questions. So now that you're a licensed agent, or if you are have been an agent and got out of the game, or just looking and wanting, you know, maybe you've been with the same brokerage for 20 years and you don't know anything else. And so if you want to interview your brokerage, we came up with some great questions and things to seriously consider during that process.
You know what? This is good if you're, you know, I think the title really should be interviewing your brokerage, because even if you've been with your brokerage for a long time, this is going to be great to re-interview them again to make sure you even want to stay with them. Do you want to renegotiate your contract? Do you have to sign a new ICA, independent contractor agreement, every year?
Well, yeah. And I think it's just good information. Information gives people power. It gives you in any way.
Yeah.
Being informed gives you power to choose. And I think a lot of people aren't. If they've been doing it for a long time, they don't know any different than what they know.
Mm-hmm.
You get, and everybody gets it. It's a habit.
Especially, most people live by habit. If you're just a high-producing realtor, it's a privilege for your brokerage to have you. So it's your, interview them.
Well, if you're any real estate agent,
No, that's true. But when you look at me like that, it makes me feel like
into your soul.
I'm so sad now.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So
you know, the questions, let's just get right to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you are talking to your current brokerage or looking at a potential brokerage, one of the biggest and first questions you're going to want to find out is, what is my split as an agent? And what is a split? A split's when you earn commission from a real estate deal. How much of that is split between you and your brokerage?
Right. So we are going to go through this. And if you are listening and you are a new agent, you're thinking about getting licensed, grab a pen and paper, write these questions down. Okay. So, or come back and watch us again. So anyhow, your split. So if you're interviewing me and or vice versa, one of the main questions is, what is your split? So what does that mean? They don't know what that means.
Well, I mean, the split is literally when, okay, so I close on a house, whether, you know, I represented the buyer or the seller.
Mm-hmm.
I collected a percentage as part of the agreed upon, you know, commission. So that check is actually made out to your brokerage for all you newly licensed or trying to get licensed agents. That is how it usually goes, state to state dependent, but especially in Iowa and Illinois, the check is made out to your brokerage. How much of that is your brokerage going to keep, and how much are you going to keep? That's your split. It varies brokerage to brokerage. So for instance, I mean, basically, if we could go and crunch numbers all day long, but basically, you know, we want to make sure that we don't discuss actual numbers, actual percentages, because real estate agents are held to a very high standard of antitrust. So you're just going to want to do your own independent research and find out, you know, what's my split. And you know, we'll get down later on, but also
okay. So when you're talking about the split, so everybody knows in a real estate that someone's going to pay a commission, okay, to the brokerage, and that's going to go to the agent.
I've seen it as high as 50-50, and you know, as low as 80-20 in this area, and then also some brokerages call themselves 100% brokerages. Now, you still have a transaction fee and things like that.
There are other extra fees. And so we're going to talk about that. I just want to talk about the split for a minute, though, because the split could be different. Let's say, eXp, brand new agent, you're going to be 80-20.
And if you're a seasoned agent, you're going to be 80-20.
You could say brand new with eXp, but if you're already capped somewhere else, you can carry that over, blah, blah. There's a lot of things that go into it. But whatever the split is, my point is, whatever the split is, if it's a 50-50, if it's 60-40, 70-30, or whatever that split happens to be, you need to know, you need to really understand that and understand, okay, are you willing to give up whatever the percentage you're going to be paying the brokerage for whatever they're going to do for you? Mm-hmm. So with that split, the question to follow up with is, yes, you want to know what the split is, and you want to know, what do they do for you to earn that 30%,
what's
that
50%, the value they're gonna
what
bring.
Are they doing? And are you willing to pay somebody 50%, 30%, whatever the split is, mm-hmm. that you're paying them to do flyers or to do whatever it is they're going to do? Or are you going to be doing a lot of the work yourself and you're still giving them a split? Mm-hmm. You need to understand what you're paying them for. Because you're an independent contractor. You're paying them a percentage of the monies that you've earned. And you need to make sure it's worth whatever that split is to you for what they're going to do for you.
And, you know, at a previous brokerage, I remember paying as high as the mid 20, so like a $25,000 check that I pretty much cut them for 1 year of being able to hang my license at that brokerage. Erin, I think you've probably paid more than that.
I paid a lot.
And see, and so it's very important to remember you're paying them.
But yeah, so that's why we're doing this. So we're mm-hmm. like, we as a new agent, you wouldn't know that. So now you do. You know the ask what the split is. And for that, what do you get? So if it's whatever that percentage is,
yep.
what do you get for that? You need to know that because, I mean, that's really how it works. It can feel different, yeah. but that's how it works. Exactly. And we'll get into that too. So then the next thing would be your cap.
And what is a cap? A cap is basically, if I'm paying a certain split, does that end this year? Is there a cap? Is there a ceiling on how much I'm paying this brokerage?
I've been a productive agent for you, and I started with your brokerage. Sometimes they'll start at one split. You're new with this brokerage. They need to feel you out, know what you're going to do, blah, blah, blah. And mm-hmm. say you're super productive. You're going to cap out early. Yeah. You're going to cap out sooner than an agent that's not selling very much. So it's mm-hmm. an amount. So we could give a variance of amounts of caps. And say you could cap out here. Mm-hmm. You could cap out at 16. You can cap out at 20. Mm-hmm. And then that's not enough. So you need to know what your cap is. And then you need to know what happens after you cap.
Because some people will say, yeah, you totally cap at X amount of dollars, but then you're only at a 95-5 split for the remainder of the year. You're not even at 100% split. So you want to find out, you know. You basically, it's your responsibility to get past the...
Getting irritated. like, I'm tired of this.
You know, yeah.
I'm kind of a right fighter and like for the...
I don't like hidden secret messages. No. Read the fine print. These are things you need to be asking them, and it sucks that you have to ask it.
Yeah.
You should just be able to have it all, you know, presented to you in an unconvoluted manner, but hey, yeah. Life isn't fair.
But that's why, well, good thing we're quick learners. Okay, so once you cap, some different things can happen with different brokerages.
Yep.
So once you cap, that split's going to change. Your split's going to change. And with some brokerages, there's stuff that comes with that. Mm-hmm. Where once you cap out, maybe you're at 95.5 or maybe you're at 100 and you have transaction fees. You need to know what we're going to get into all the other fees. But what is all that other stuff, right, that comes with it? With some brokerages, you cap out, you can, well, with eXp, for example, mm-hmm. you cap out, you get your, I mean, you can tell them about the cap.
Okay, so for instance, at our brokerage, and this is important to hear if you don't know much about our brokerage, because usually when people learn little tidbits about our brokerage, it's a complete game changer for them. So at eXp, you cap out at 16 grand. And you have an 80-20 split, which is already two big game changers in the area. But once you cap, it's a $250 transaction fee. But guess what? You can also cap on transaction fees. And then if you cap on transaction fees, so $5,000, usually 20 extra transactions after capping, in that same year, you'll receive your entire $16,000 cap back to you in the form of company stock. It's freaking insane. So we actually have, you'll be ICON agent eligible. It's this, you know, practically a badge of honor, a title of honor at EXP. We actually have two ICON agents in the Quad Cities.
Yeah, and it goes back into benefits, like all the benefits. So once you cap, your split changes. You mm-hmm. need to know when you're talking about your split. So once you cap, you need to know when you cap with whatever brokerage you're interviewing. What will your split be? Mm-hmm. How will things change on the financial end of things? Because there can be different fees.
Yep. And so the other important thing to just...
I think some people get out of real estate or get disheartened because mm-hmm. they didn't know going into it and they, you know...
That's exactly what we were talking about last week. Don't give up. There are so many opportunities. If you spend all that time, money, and effort to get your real estate license, don't give up.
No, you got it for a reason. Get back in touch with why you did it, and don't let a bad experience somewhere or something that, you know, if you didn't know that those expenses were coming, mm-hmm. For some people that could, you know,
oh, it's terrifying. Make or break,
and they wouldn't do it.
And that's why we tried to go over a lot of the expenses into getting your real estate license, but it never ends. Once you become a licensed real estate agent, I mean, everybody wants a piece of you. There's a shiny gimmick to get some of your money. In every way, shape,
and we'll do one on that. Like marketing a big way. You get so many calls of people trying to get you to whatever. Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, so many different things. So we got some stories on that one too.
We did talk about. Okay, so we talked about what happens after the cap, and that kind of does lead into our next thing about
the benefits.
The benefits of what brokerage you're going to be at. I want you to ask them, what benefits am I going to get from, you know, producing for you? From bringing this income to you in your brokerage, because at EXP, we're publicly traded on the NASDAQ. You have stock options. You get stock when you close your first deal. No other brokerage I know of does that.
No, that's right.
You get stock when you cap, and you have a chance to get all of your cap back in the form of company
stock. And they're the only
one
that has group health insurance. Yes. The only one that offers group health care, which is huge.
They have
especially
group
right
health care.
So we're all, as forever, I've been an independent contractor. Mm-hmm. So I'm in charge of my own health care, which I mm-hmm. love. However, no other brokerage that I know of offers a group health care plan where we can all benefit and save a ton of money on our health coverage.
This is huge for what Aaron was saying about being an independent contractor. Health insurance is very expensive for a lot of those people. I'm very blessed with the fact that my husband carries our health insurance and we're both disabled veterans. So we do get a lot of health benefits that are service connected. Mm-hmm. That said, it's got to be terrifying for those self-employed people out there that desperately need health insurance at a reasonable cost.
It was a huge difference for me when they finally said, I was with EXP before it happened, mm-hmm. so I was with them when it happened.
Yeah.
I was super excited for group health. I've been 1099 with insurance, with everything mm-hmm. I've done, so I was super excited to finally
And what they did healthcare. Was they negotiated the lowest rate offered to real estate agents out there, and it's exclusive with EXP. So if you're interested in that, you need to check it out too.
That's one of the benefits. So some brokerages are going to have, we have rev share, EXP has rev share, some of them are going to have profit share, you know, the stock options, a way to make extra income. Some of them have ways so you can make extra income as well. Mm-hmm. I would ask about all of those things. Mm-hmm. And see what they come up with.
Man, we could do a whole podcast on just the extra forms of income that we get from EXP. It's insane. So,
well, other brokerages offer stuff too, but as when you're interviewing people, you're comparing because you want to have longevity and be happy. Mm-hmm. And so I think the next 100%. Question that I think is important that I really considered when I got my license and was looking at different brokerages. One of the things that's important to me is the culture of any environment that I'm going to put myself into or be associated with. The culture of something is really important to me, whether the people there are positive, healthy, if it's, you know, you can tell if it's like competitive is one thing, angry is another thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so I didn't want to be in an environment that wasn't healthy for me. And I think that one of the main things that I learned in office culture, you can have a lot of awesome people. In leadership, I think it's really important to have somebody that you can work with for the long term. I think it's important to have somebody that you look at them and they have integrity and they have character. They're someone that you admire because they're leading you and have some say mm-hmm. over, and they're telling you this and that and the other. So I think it's really important, whoever is going to be your managing broker, whoever you're looking to as a leader in that organization, that you're able to have respect for them, that you actually genuinely respect them and can look at them as a leader.
I feel like culture is not something so much that you can ask about, but you have to make your own observations and draw your own conclusions. And yeah. You and I had kind of talked about this in prepping for the podcast, you know, how do we talk about culture? And it's like, if this is harder to do for newer agents, but if you've been at your brokerage for a while and you're considering making a switch, like what I've done in the past is I've reached out to agents that had left that brokerage that I was considering joining and just asked, like, why'd you leave? Anything I should know? You know, I would say just reach out to your fellow agents and ask them. Reach out to the people that aren't trying to sell you something.
Here's another thing. If you know, if you've got your real estate license, you know a realtor, whatever. I go to a ton of networking events. Mm-hmm. I'm constantly doing this stuff. If that's where you're at and you haven't made up your mind, I'm not going to try to sway you one way or the other, but you can go to some of these events mm-hmm. and meet with realtors from all different brokerages and get a feel for, you know, how you gel with people and what you think. And, you know what I mean? That's a good way to do it. I kind of looked at stuff like that and knew a lot of different realtors from different brokerages, and that was part of my decision making as well.
And I think maybe you should ask, like, I don't want to get too far into it, but am I allowed to talk to other realtors that are outside of my brokerage? That might be something that you're going to want to know.
You don't want to have that in experience. Actually, you do need to be able to talk with, deal with other, you're going to deal with realtors from every brokerage, wherever you are. They're going to list something, you're going to sell it. You need to have good relationships with all of them.
It's important to have good relationships. It doesn't even matter, like, in the Quad Cities or across the United States in the world.
It's funny, because I was actually on my trip in Arizona, I was having a conversation with someone, and this was what comes to mind. And this is why, because then this morning I was thinking about it as well. I was like, why does that keep coming up to me? And it was something my dad said. I was like, one of a great piece of advice that he gave me. And he said, for as short as life is, it's long. Be good to people because you're going to encounter them again on your journey.
Oh my God, that's so true.
And it is true. And so I think that when it comes to what we're talking about, mm-hmm. that's applicable.
Yeah, especially, I mean, you're right. That's such a broad, you know, statement that rings true to so many things. But especially in real estate, I have had like nightmare deals with agents and then have turned around a year later and become very good friends with them.
Well, whether we love our clients or we have a client that's having a hard time, whatever the situation mm-hmm. is, there's just no reason. I mean, even if I wasn't in real estate, there's just no reason to go around.
Yep.
Not being
bullshit
cool with people.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, this is so good about, make sure we talked about kind of like, split and cap and everything, mm-hmm. but just to quickly throw in there, the fees, like, are there extra fees? Are there fees for joining? Is there a monthly fee? Is there a transaction fee? Know your fees up front, because a lot of brokerages can easily gloss over, like, oh yeah, it's just, this is your split, this is your cap. Make sure.
Ask them what they are. No, I was thinking about some experiences I had previous to EXP. That's what that was. That wasn't you.
Yeah.
I do that. I'm a very animated person.
I mean, I see Aaron's eyes go completely white because, like, the eye roll was so dramatic.
Okay, so you do need to understand any extra fees.
Yeah, just
what
make
your
sure.
transaction fees will be. If they're saying, oh, blah, 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 do this, and you think they're being helpful, look at what all of the fees are going to be, because they're going to be different at every mm-hmm. brokerage.
And then talking about control, how much control do you have over your business? How much control would I have over my business? There are, you know, the signs. Can I design my own signs? Can I have my own number on the signs?
Yeah.
That for your listings, you know, your sign in the yard is such a huge impact on your business. Listings are the name of the game here. And when you get listings, you want to be able to capitalize on that 100% and capture all of the leads that come
through. Yeah, not have them be like a salad spinner that comes into the brokerage and gets spit out to the other agents within the office, because that's not actually
and it
ethical.
Doesn't happen everywhere, but it doesn't not happen at brokerages, so make sure you find out for yourself how much control over your own business are you going to have.
How much control do you have over your marketing, your you know, when you do have signs, is it going to be your phone number that they're calling, or are they going to be calling into the office and spinning it out, as I've said, like a salad spinner? So how much control do you have over your own business across the board in general, because you are only brokered with that brokerage.
Yep.
You are an independent. This is your business.
Yep.
And you should run it like a small business.
I think that pretty much covers the basic questions that you would kind of ask a brokerage. A lot of it you're gonna just be feeling out and seeing what agents are over there. What kind of relationships do you have with them? If you're newer and you want to link up with other agents to host some of their opens on their listings and stuff, you know, but mainly just for the brokerage itself. I think we pretty much covered it on that. And were there any additional questions before we get into the next part of it?
No.
Okay. Perfect.
No questions. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I put here, you've chosen a brokerage, now what?
Yeah, what happens next?
You're right there. You haven't signed anything yet. You think this is the brokerage you're going with. And I still say that there are still some things that you need to look at. So you've chosen them. You think you've chosen them. And we're going to hammer out a few things that I think are important on that as well. And so we were talking, you're like, everything's negotiable in real estate. And that is true. That is 100% true. So if you think that you've chosen your brokerage, that being said, you can still negotiate your split. You can still negotiate your contract with that brokerage if that's the one that you want to be with, and see if they are willing to negotiate with you terms that you feel comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are some brokerages that are, hey, this is what we offer to every agent. This is set in stone. And if you come across those types of brokerages, great, you know what you're dealing with. But there are plenty of brokerages out there where you can absolutely negotiate everything. Yeah. And it's important to do it just like you're negotiating a freaking salary at a normal, you know, W-2 job.
That's right.
So definitely you can negotiate your anniversary date, anything. So we wanted to make sure that we threw that in there. Also, we thought it was important to, for you licensed agents out there that are currently licensed, currently hanging your license at a brokerage, and you've decided maybe that's not the brokerage for you, you've picked your next brokerage, how do you break up with this boyfriend?
Oh, well, they can go... That is a podcast in itself.
I didn't mean to put it that way.
Shut that down. We're going to go in a whole different direction, and we're going to stay with what. So what happens when you leave your current brokerage? You have had your real estate license. You're brokered with somebody else right now, and you're considering going somewhere else because for whatever reason, maybe you're not liking the split, maybe the culture, whatever it is, you want to make a change. You have the right to do that. Most states are a right to work state. In the case that you want to change where you hang your license, you need to go. You're probably going to have to talk to HR at your brokerage. You're going to have to talk to your managing broker. You're going to tell them that you want to transfer your license. Now, I know you're going to say a bunch of things before that.
I would. Yeah.
You go with what you're saying. I'm going.
All I wanted to say was every situation is different. Everybody's situation is different. You know, there's a classy way to handle it. You can't control how the other side of it's going to take the news. They, of course, are going to try everything to keep you, but you know your rights as an independent contractor. You can work wherever you want. The other thing is, you actually, in certain states, I don't want to speak for every single state, but you actually don't even have to have a conversation with them if there is something going on that you don't feel like you even want to be sitting in a room with them and have a conversation.
Yeah.
So just know your own situation. If you really respect the managing broker and the owner that you're with, do have that conversation out of respect. Let them know, hey, I might be back. Like, I just want to try this other brokerage. Most brokerages will be happy to have you back and everything. But there are situations. Just know your rights that you don't actually have to talk to them.
Okay. And we're going to clarify that when you were, that was a joke about a boyfriend. I have not had a boyfriend.
I know. I'm not involved with any of that.
It's hilarious. It's actually a hilarious story. It's a hilarious story. And I do it.
I'm going to be in trouble with Aaron after
we're
this.
No, you're not. But we're in this market, I do think it's important that if it is at all possible to sit down with, it's a matter of integrity and character to go to your managing broker, to the person that you're dealing with, and let them know that you're making this change and give then the opportunity, have that hard conversation. If it's uncomfortable, that's okay. It's going to cause you to grow.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to me, if at all possible, that you are able to do that. You know, who knows?
Maybe that will turn into something good. Broken up with in person every single broker, owner, or I've at least tried. So basically,
we want to go into what happens when you change. It's really simple. And we're going to say before that, if you know you're going to do that, you're going to know a month ahead. This isn't something you do on a whim. So when you're going to do that, you're going to prepare yourself. You're going to let any clients that you have listings with or buyers that you're working with, you're going to let them know that that's what you're doing. And you're going to save your information.
Know the laws in your own state as far as that's concerned. Because some brokerages straight up own your listings and own your clients and own your pendings.
That being said, they don't own you.
No, they don't.
The human thing to do. And again, a character.
I'm just throwing a disclaimer out there.
If I'm working with a family for a month or something and I'm making this decision, they're going to know because I am an honest, straightforward person and they need to know that this is what's happening. I don't want to just dump one of my clients because I'm making a change for the better for my life. It's actually going to benefit them.
I truly believe that. But the brokerage in a lot of states, unless there's a previous agreement, they own that transaction. The transaction is actually with the broker. Know what the hell you're getting yourself into when you do decide to switch. Just know your rights in your state and make sure that you don't do anything that's going to get you in trouble.
Yes.
The human side of it, absolutely, I completely understand because a lot of brokerages will mail a letter or send an email to your client on their own behalf, like so-and-so is no longer with the company and we're going to be taken over. They should know.
When I left my previous brokerage, I was able to take I had, I think, a pending, I don't remember, listing, whatever I had, I was able to take that with me when I left that brokerage.
Yep. So you're going to want to review your brokerages, like, policies and guidelines, know exactly your rights and what you signed on your independent contractor agreement. You're going to want to review that. You're going to want to back up all your files, all your contacts, your whole database, especially if it is a database that you own, before initiating that conversation with them. Because if you have emails only in the brokerage's name and everything, you're going to want to make sure you protect yourself and your business and back it all up. So I just wanted to make sure that we threw that out there because it's a big deal to transfer. If you do end up transferring brokerages in the future and you have additional questions, I mean, we've helped a lot of people transfer in the past. And so we've got a pretty good system. We got it down pat. I've written a few, I don't know what to call it, like little policies or manuals or whatever, to help people transfer their license and to remind them to create different email addresses and back things up.
Yeah. Okay, so we're getting to that time.
Yeah, any questions from the crowd before we wrap this up, Jay?
No questions today. Alrighty. Well, I just want to say thank you all for tuning in, and be sure to tune in every Monday at 2:30 for our Facebook Live and to get a chance to interact with us before, during, and after each episode. We look forward to your questions and comments.
Yep. And if you have any questions, comments, or specific topics that you'd like us to discuss in an upcoming podcast, contact me, Sandy, at... Where did I write my number? Okay. My phone number is 563-334-4983. You can text the number 2, Broker Girls, all one word, to me, and I'll know specifically that you're texting me about that.
And you can reach me at, just text me, 2 Broker Girls, at 563-214-4312, or reach out. You can also reach out to me over Facebook, or I've already given my contact information, and I really appreciate that. So I just really, again, want to say thank you to everyone who has taken the time to subscribe, rate, and follow us on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you listen. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at 2 Broker Girls.
We love reviews. We love feedback. Every little bit helps. So please, please keep rating and subscribing to our podcast. Special thanks to all the game changers of real estate for tuning in. And we hope you all have
We hope you have a wonderful week. And we'll see you next Monday.
Bye, guys.